message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Eternal salvation. Thank you for our security in you. Thank you because in you we live, we move, we have our being. And of your fullness we have received grace heaped upon grace. Father, we thank you. Now today again our hearts and our minds are opened to receive. Therefore we declare and affirm that we receive indeed and we bear forth fruit of righteousness. And the church will shout a big amen. Come on, clap for our ministers. Come on, God bless you. Glory to God forevermore. Daddy sends his greeting and is on his way. Glory to God. Let's be seated. Amen forevermore. Daddy is coming soon. He's in his hotel room and he's preparing already. So he has sent me a message that he's on his way. So turn your Bibles to Psalm 114. Psalms 114. I move mountains. I cause walls to fall. I have power. I perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. I am standing here only because He made the way. Psalm 114, this is Faith Life Conference. And we're talking about the charismatic faith, the mountain-moving faith, the bulldog faith. Glory to God forevermore. Psalms 114 and verse 1. Psalms 114 and verse 1. Now, I want you to see how David summarizes the incidences of miracles in the Old Covenant. In Psalm 114 verse 1, the Bible says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, verse 2, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Now, look at verse 2. It says, Judah was his sanctuary. Now, this is figurative of a place where God dwells, sanctuary. You know that old song? Lord, make me a sanctuary. Alright? He already did it at resurrection. So you're not praying, Lord, please make me your sanctuary. No. You already became. Glory to God forevermore. So, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel's dominion. Verse 3. Now, notice verse 2, it says his sanctuary. That means where God dwells, where God stays. Then verse 3 now tells us something. It says, the sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Saw what? The sanctuary. And it will get clearer very soon. Look at verse 4. He says, mountains keep like rams. Have you seen rams before? You've seen how rams keep, like, you know, takes to the hills. He says, mountains keep like rams and little ease like lambs. Now, he's not asking a rhetoric question. You see, David was a poetic writer. He was being poetic here and at the same time, figurative. In verse 4, he says, the mountains keep like rams and the little is like lambs. Now, he asks a rhetoric question in verse 5. What LD, that means, what did you see, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? You know, sea fled before the children of Israel, right? Come on, talk to me. Then he asked another question. He says, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. You know Jordan, right? River Jordan. There was a man by the name of Elijah. He was going to pass through Jordan with his servant Elisha. And then he parted the Jordan River and passed through. Now, when he was taken up by a whirlwind. All right. Why? Because he had ended his prophetic ministry. for Israel. So somebody was going to serve in his room. That means in his stead. All right. There's a teaching on that. Elijah didn't go to heaven that time. We thought he did. All right. Can get part three of Yeshua. Glory to God. All right. Anyways, long story short, when he left, Elisha was left behind. He says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the children thereof. So the mantle dropped. So when the mantle dropped, he took it. And now he was going to go back. The Bible says, when he goes to that same Jordan River, he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Pass! And then Jordan split open and he walked through. Many years down before that incident, the children of Israel were going to pass through that same Jordan, and they took 12 representatives from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they held the tabernacle on the shoulder. As they stepped their first feet into Jordan River split open. As long as they had that thing, tabernacle on their shoulders, which again represents the presence of God. Many years down the line, Elijah did the same. Now, a time came afterwards. There was a man in Galilee. He was going to pass through that same Jordan. So what happened? He was with the disciples, you know. And then he said, hey guys, wait on a little here. Let me go the other side and pray. So he took a boat, obviously, went to pray. So he tarried longer than perhaps expected. And the disciples didn't see him. They already, embarked on the voyage. So it was around 7, 8 p.m., getting dark. He looked left, he looked right. He didn't see no boat. The Bible says he walked on that water, that Jordan water. So, here is an incident of children of Israel. They had a tabernacle. Here was an incident of Elijah, who was conscious of who he was. Here is another man, Elisha, who took the mantle of Elijah, and then he parted the Jordan River, and he walked upon it. And all that will be summarized about it is the fact that what made it responsible for Jordan to be driven back, he's about to tell you now. That means, what is the substance of those miracles? I mean, you saw miracles yesterday. Glory to God. Amen forevermore. So what was responsible for that miracle? He's about to tell you. Now he's asking a rhetorical question. He says, what LD, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? That means, what did you see, you did see, that make you flee back? Or thou Jordan, that thou was driven back? Ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lamb. Now, this is figurative of what you can call maybe challenges, situations, mountains, whatever it is. He's asking them, why did they flee back? Why did they become dematerialized? Then in verse 7, he says, tremble thou, O heart, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. In other words, the Spirit of God in the believer gives him the effrontery to flatten every mountain. Who is this mountain? What is this mountain before Zerubbabel? Whatever it is, all that you require to level every mountain, to cause challenges to bow, is that consciousness of the indwelling spirit. See, the Christian life is a supernatural life. Take the ministry of the Spirit away from Christianity. What you have left is religion. And the world is tired of religion. They have a lot of it. Now you'll be doing yourself a lot of disfavor if you live your life daily without this consciousness that the indwelling spirit is in you. The Spirit of God indwells you. And this is what separates Christianity from all kinds of religion. That we are not trying to approach a God that is far away. That even when we pray, the one with whom or to whom we are communing or speaking with is living in us. It's a real thing. It's not some set of do's and don'ts of, in aspiration to please God. No. He lives in you. So, you see, that consciousness of the indwelling spirit And that's why a very good thing you will do yourself is to make sure you plug in to associations, supernatural relationships like local assembly, a church, all right, where these things are taught again and again. You hear what our father said yesterday? He said something. He said, all right, the word of faith will work for those who attend the church where the word of faith is preached and taught. Because, you see, preaching tells you what. Teaching tells you how and why. For example, now, look at what Pastor was sharing yesterday. All right, simple stuff. The Lordship of Jesus and the resurrection of the preaching of the word of faith. So what is the Lordship of Jesus? That it takes Lord. And you see, he's not just Lord over you. He's Lord through you. Over situations, over circumstances, whatever it is. Then resurrection. So how does that affect you? How does that have an impact on your life as an individual? Then he tells you, he says, you see, when we tell you the what, that means Jesus resurrected. Yeah, you believed it. So now, how does that affect you on a daily basis? Number one is, since he arose from the dead, then that also means that, number one, he conquered death. Are you listening to me? What did Abraham believe, a man of faith? What did he believe about God? The Bible says he believed in a God, Romans 4 verse 17, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. So the two things Abraham believed about God is that he quickened the dead. So Abraham believed in resurrection, though in the future. Now, but what was the physical situation at the time in the scheme of things? Had no babies. He's already 99 years old. He can't perform anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he believed that if God, who could raise the dead? That's what he believes. And so he believed that that same God is able to give him to quickening that dead body organ. So that he can, do you know what it means to go and sleep with a 90 years old woman? Not only is she past menopause, she's been barren all her life. That's a terrible situation. So now, here is the point I'm making. And I'm just trying to explain better what Pastor shared with us yesterday. All right, just to remind you. All right. So the word of faith is this. It has a content. The content of the word of faith, which we preach, is that Jesus is Lord. Shout amen, somebody. Every living being, we confess Jesus' Lordship. Congratulations to you. You already said that while you are here alive. Some will say it in hell. Because every knee must bow. The Bible says God has highly exalted him and given him a name. Name there means authority. Of things, if you see the word things in King James, it's italicized. It's supposed to be beings. Of beings in heaven, I'm quoting Philippians 2. Of beings in heaven, come on, what are the beings in heaven? Angels, you know, living creatures, spirit beings. Come on, talk to me now. Of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, and of beings under the earth. That means in all the three realms of existence, he is Lord. And every being will bow. Their knees will buckle. They must all bow. So Jesus is Lord. Then again, the second content of the message of the word of faith is that what? Christ was raised from the dead. Listen, that means we serve a God who quickened the dead. Quickened is the old King James word for who can make alive. Now you see, and what does that simply mean is this. Look up, everybody. You see, the miracle of salvation, all right, is not just something that has happened, but it is something that you can let the understanding of what happened filter into every crevices of your life. You got a simple as a wound. You say, I have the life of God in me. You're facing a terrible financial situation. Listen, the message of the word of faith, the resurrection of Christ, all right, that has given you salvation, that understanding can filter into every area of your life. It can give you a mindset. For instance, I say things like, nothing dies around me. Now, I'm saying that from the understanding of the word of faith. Why? Because he resurrected. He overcame death. So, somebody say, so how does that apply? So that means my business does not die. That means what I do does not die. Have the never die mentality. Because somebody say, but at the end of the day, the reality is that we will still all die. Listen, Christians don't die. We sleep, we change body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, literally, we don't die. This is the word of faith, which we preach. So, you see, like we shared with us yesterday, he says, it begins with what? Come on, talk to me. It begins with what? It's like yesterday, it took a long time before you started responding. All right? Please respond well. It begins with what? Say it again. And I remember he quoted the scripture in Galatians 3. He that worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Nay, by the hearing of faith. That means it is not by self-effort, it's by the hearing of faith. Somebody say hearing. Say it again. Say it again. So that means if hearing is important, then it matters where you are. It matters which church you attend. It matters which association you keep. Anyone that has access to your hearing has access to your life. Has access to your destiny. Has access to what you would become in life. Hearing. Somebody say hearing. Hearing. Say it again. Hearing. Say it again. Hearing. Say it again. Hearing. So the word of faith begins with hearing. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? Ask yourself, what have I been hearing? If you take a screenshot of the last things you've listened to on your phone, can you really tell yourself you've been hearing the right things? What are you hearing? Listen, listen, what are you hearing? I think we should just begin from here. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? I want to make this imprint on your mind. What are you hearing? Who are you hearing? Who is talking to you? Whose voice are you listening to? Who is feeding you? What are you hearing? What are you hearing? It matters what you hear. Because what you hear will become what you believe. And what you believe will give you a mindset, a thinking pattern. And something very remarkable about this is this. Nobody can actually live above their belief system. So it begins with what you're hearing. For instance, if you hear so much about the woes and the evils in the world, they dominate you. You start having them in your dream life. Let me tell you something about dreams, for example. Ecclesiastes 5:3 told us that a dream cometh by multitude of business. So 90% of the times, unresolved arguments, settled down thoughts and vibrations of the things you've heard again and again, are what eventually replay like a script in your dream life. Now, I'm not putting out the fact that Satan can also introduce his script, all right? But I've taught you how to undo such when you wake up from such dreams. Glory to God. But the point I'm saying is, imagine what you hear, see, and feed on can so settle down in your innermost core being that it will even replay when you are asleep. That's to tell you that your hearing is important in the scheme of things. You see, there's a Chinese proverb that says, you are what you eat. And I found it to be biologically true. I mean, when you eat gari, bread, all the things you eat, like for example now, carbohydrates simply means hydrate of carbon, right? That means hydrates, water, and carbon. Now, It has been proven that we are majorly carbon. In fact, your bones are 70% carbon. So that means you are literally what you eat. Now, the same it is in the spiritual things. Have you seen our Indian friends? They smell garlic. You go to their house, garlic from the door, from the gate, garlic. Their clothes smell garlic. They talk is garlic. Why? They've eaten that garlic so much that even their skin feels the garlic. They take their bait is garlic. Garlic everywhere. Listen, you can be so full of the word that way. You can be full of the word of faith that way. In such a way that when situation touches you, the word comes out. Little things like even eating your leg on the stone. You don't say, "Mommy," no, you say, "Heal, heal." You just say it out. Why? Because it has become something that is so domicile in you. For no man will say a thing except it has been inside already. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, from verse 33. He says, you see, make a tree corrupt, and then you make its fruit corrupt. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you see, it begins with hearing. I think I should dwell on this before Pastor comes. Somebody say hearing. Say it again. For example, now, what I'm saying is, you can literally trace most of the things in your life to hearing. And I don't know why, in recent time, I just noticed that I'm liking guests too much. I don't know what is. I'll tell you why. If we check the things you've been listening to, it's either you've been listening to Cassava Fall on Me. You see, the thing is, as you listen to those things, what you don't know is, look up everybody, look up, what you hear eventually becomes your reality. If you hear the right things consistently, there will be learning, there will be unlearning, and there will be relearning. There are some things you need to unlearn. There are some mindsets that need to be brought down. So God's word, we flush it that way. There are some things that you have believed that are wrong, but just because it is wrong doesn't mean it won't be efficacious. Because you see, when you believe a thing, you have empowered that thing. Your believing is what empowers that thing. As potent as the gospel is, if you don't believe it, it won't result in salvation. Come on, talk to me. The same thing with lies. If you believe that you are subject to satanic oppression, it becomes a reality. So you see, it begins with hearing. Hearing. What are you hearing? And you see, God has blessed us in this generation in such a way that our forebears never had such opportunity. Like the instance of what we call technology today. Take advantage of technology. Like for example, sometimes when I want to sleep, a message is playing. In such a way that when I'm sleeping, I'm still seeing that person preaching in my dream, preaching the same thing to me. Yeah. Why? Because let me tell you, even in the natural, even in the conscious state, your mind is at the mercy of what you hear. Now, if you are here right now and you imagine your mom is in your front right now, maybe your mom's name is Dorcas, and you are imagining that, you are picturing your mom is in your front right now. Of a sudden, just shout, "Pastor Elijah." Your mommy's picture will disappear. My picture will appear. Why? Your mind is at the mercy of words. Words are powerful than thoughts. That's why you could be fighting a wrong thought in your head with thoughts. You will never win that case. A wrong thought is coming. Maybe you are imagining yourself, you know, having an accident. You just want to go from Kefi to Abuja. You are imagining that there's an accident. And you are seeing the picture. I want to teach you this, how to fight witchcraft. This is what happened to Elijah and Jezebel. Jezebel says, the way you kill the prophet of Baal, so, he says, let the gods do the same to me if I do not kill you. The Bible says, Elijah saw it and he fled. What did he see? He saw what Jezebel said. Have you been talking to somebody before? You are talking, when you say, I don't understand, and you kept talking, and when you says, oh, I see. But you're supposed to say, oh, I hear. No, he says, I see. Why? Because now he's seeing what is being said. Are you listening to me? So you can hear something again and again until it becomes so solid. So the word of faith can be in so abundance until it becomes something tangible. Then you can literally slice it with knife. So it begins with hearing. Hearing. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? Pastor was speaking yesterday about feeding your faith. You know, he was talking about how that when you talk, faith is built up and then your faith is fed. Many times you see, have you heard this saying? They say, starve your doubt and feed your faith. So you see, you feed your faith with the word of faith. So you see, it begins with hearing. Somebody say hearing. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. So as you keep hearing the same thing again and again, 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 consistently so, non-contradictory things, you keep hearing the same thing again and again, it will form a mold. When we say somebody has a mindset, what does it mean? Mindset. This is simple English. Mindset. It's like, have you been to where they do bricklaying before? When they mix all those things, stones, sand, in their right proportion. When they finish mixing it, they want to make a slab. So they have a mold. Somebody say mold. Say it again. A mold. Maybe a rectangle one or triangle, whichever shape they want, or it could even be spherical. Then they will now pour that cement that has been mixed, that concrete, and pour it in there. Then they will leave it for a while. After some while, they will remove that mold. That thing at that time is set. That's the meaning of set. So mindset. So mindset is this. A particular way of thinking again and again that has become dominant over time. And it's a product. It first begins with hearing. With hearing. The things we heard. You see, I want to dwell on this because it's not about loading you with more information. It's about getting to understand. I just want to teach you, you know, line upon line on this thing. So that it will minister understanding. Hearing. Hearing. What are you hearing? Is a question you should ask yourself today. What have you been listening to? So, like I said, that thoughts, your mind is at the mercy of words. Now, this is very simple, all right? For instance, have you been listening to a song, a tape, then of a sudden, all right, you paused it or you stopped it, but the song is still playing in your head? Come on, talk to me. Why? Your mind is at the mercy of what you say, is at the mercy of sound. So I filter stuff. Did you hear what the Bible says in Philippians, in the book of Philippians 4:8? In fact, David, an Old Testament saint, he says, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Now, he says, guard your heart with all the energy you can muster. The word guard there is a military term. The Hebrew word is natsar, N-A-T-S-A-R. It actually means garrison. It means to mount soldiers. You know, it's like the picture there, one theologian said, the picture there is like a soldier who is on the border. You know, how many of you have seen, you know, countries have borders, right? Then you have soldiers on the wall with gun, walking like this, surveillance. So that anything that tries to come in that is external, that is harmful, they what? Shoot to kill. Right? So he's telling you, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Another translation says, out of it are the forces that shape your life. Because that's where the force of faith is, the force of joy, the force of righteousness is in your heart. So you see, you guard it. So you are deliberate about it. I remember how God saved me from KUWUK. KUTWUK. Keeping up with the Kardashians. That's the only reason why I go to E. Every time, E, boom, keeping up with the Kardashians. You see all, then I don't know. That's why maybe, I don't know if I'm the only one that has that issue. All right. After the show, I'm just sitting there, I close my eyes. I'll now start be seeing that same, all those shape of buttocks, all those. I say, I shut up. Yeah, calabas. I want to pray. Le cobra. You see, but some people are very okay with it. And you are wondering why your prayer life is not effective. You are praying and then you are thinking something else. Is a training, and that was many years ago. Long, I'm a regimented man now. Glory to God. Amen forevermore. So you see, your mind, there's something we call mind management. You see, the way, look up everybody, look up, look up, look up. Look at what Jesus said. He said, there is nothing any man does that wasn't premeditated, either consciously or unconsciously. That's what Jesus says. So look up, look up. I don't know why God is taking me through this direction. That means even when we talk about habit therapy, that means you want to drop a bad habit and pick a new habit. The same principle works. I was counseling with a fellow who has been having issue with fornication. And I said, do you know that the issue is not the fornication or when you did that fornication? The same thing applies with somebody who is saying, well, I don't know, I just have this, you know, ungodly attraction towards same sex and all of that. It's the same principle. I'll tell you, just look up. Look up, everybody, look up. It's very simple. This is it. At the time when you were alone somewhere in your room, when it was still in a thought form, you embrace that thought. So much, you wrap yourself around it, you fantasized about it, you liked it. What you don't know is this. You have damaged your willpower to resist that thing. So now when the opportunity to do that thing you were thinking about now presents itself, you can't help it, you can't resist it. Why? So that means it is not when you actually did that thing that you did it. You actually did it when it was first in a thought form. That's why Jesus in Matthew 5, 27, 28, he says that if a man looks into a woman with a lustful eyes, he says he has already committed adultery in his heart. Why? Because your heart is the place of reality. Look, whatever has been conceived, that is how sin is born. James 1, verse 13 says, let no one that is tempted say, I am tempted of God. He says, because God cannot be tempted, neither tempt he no man. He says, but man is being carried away by his own lust, is tempted. And when that lust is fully conceived, it becomes a sin. And sin, when it's full, leads to death. Are you listening to me, church? Same principle. You see, that means, you see, this principle of faith we're teaching you is applicable to every area. The first record of sin in scripture that we see, the first record that we see in scripture in Genesis 4, and there is no other place where you can get it in, you know, earlier than that, was in the issue of Cain and Abel. What did God tell Cain? He says, Cain, why are you angry? He says, if you do good, you'll be accepted. He says, watch. For sin is crouching at the door. You see, a lot of Christians, they're trying to deal with something when it has already been conceived. God warned Cain. He says, see, sin is crouching at the door. He says, why are you angry? If you have done good, you'll have been accepted. Why are you angry? He says, but watch, sin is crouching at the door. He says, take master over it, rule over it. That means God was telling Cain that, look, I can see this thing is crouching. That thing is trying to come gradually. His hand is almost on the doorknob. God was calling his attention to it. The same thing applies. A wrong thought, maybe thought of evil, thought of failure, thought of sexual immorality, whatever it is, thought of a dark future, thought of fear, they are crouching, coming gradually. Many people, after it has been conceived already, that's what they don't say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. No, at that point in time, you kill it. It's, every thought that is not of God, they ought to be dead on arrival. You kill it right there. We are just talking about the word of faith. Because you see, many times we try to dissociate the message of word of faith from Christian living. But it's not, it's the same. It's the same principle. Are you learning anything at all? Come on, are you learning anything at all? Good. Thought. Your heart. So, take for example, as beautiful as your salvation is, you have to hear the message of faith to produce faith, and then you believe, and then salvation takes place. In fact, when we actually now eventually confess, confession means to speak in two ways. That means you are only speaking with what you have said in your heart. Did you hear when Pastor said it yesterday? He says there is something not to say with your heart and there is something to say with your heart, right? So it is, you first say it in your heart. Glory to God forevermore. Come on, glory to God forevermore. You're quiet on me now. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say hearing. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. See, if you can just lock yourself in for, let's say, 2 days, and then you have this, you have selected some messages and Bible, maybe the book of Ephesians in audio, and then you just turn it on. And that's all you are listening, you are sleeping, you are waking up, you are listening. Do you know what it will do to you? It will flush out everything that is not consistent. See, the word of God is like a scanner. You see, it will remove everything and it will refresh your soul. And that's how you will take on new thoughts, new thinking pattern, new belief system that is consistent with the word of God. You have to guard your heart. That's why I tell people, and I say with all humility, it matters what church you attend. For example, if you attend churches where they magnify the devil, even in their testimonies, you say, praise the Lord, yesterday night, the devil almost killed me, and I was just drowning. Ah, if not because of God. Or testimonies like, we were 5 in the vehicle, the 4 people died on spot. Devil kill everybody. Devil almost kill me too. You see, testimony, when you say things like that, and then you are magnifying the devil, let me tell you what it does is, you don't know what is happening. Your mind is calibrating already. Da, 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 da. So when your mind receives it, if he sees something that looks like it, he will embrace it. Are you listening to me? I don't want to go into some scientific, because I actually did some research as well. But I don't want to go into all of that. That scientists have even come up with something they call aura meter. You can, A-U-R-A, meter. That they can use it to measure the bag of hair around you. Hypnotists, they call them scientists, they call them hypnotists. What they do is, that aura meter, they will dangle it before you. At 2 meters away from you, if your thoughts are full of negativism, the thing will dangle negatively. They have negative and positive. And if you have positive thoughts, it will dangle positively. This is amazing. That means, look up, like what Pastor was saying, that you can create a radar. Oh, are you listening to me? There are some people, if you are very spiritually discerning, when they come to you, you just notice that you start getting depressed. They've spoken so much about the word of depression. Why is my life like this? They may not be saying it out. There's a saying in the heart. Are you listening? Why is my life like this? Everybody has made it. Me say, when I go make him, this life don't tire me. You see, He kept, somebody can, you know, can meditate on that for 1 month. Do you know what that happens to be? The hair around such individual will take the shape of the content of that person's heart. So what is happening is, he's looking, calibrating. The moment he sees something, or he sees somebody saying the same thing, haven't you seen those days I used to enter this big public transport? You see two people they just met for the first time. And then they just say, "Now where the mother? Ah, where the mother? Ah, it's a baby. Ah, baby is fine. Oh. Ah, now, this country safe. Eh, now, even our husband, now, so then they do. All of them now, your husband too. Now, so, before you know, they will start talking. Do you know why? They have found an agreement. They found a solid funds. So that's why you see, depressed people always have depressed friends. Faith people always work with faith people. Yeah. That's why if you're a member of this cornerstone, you will be a talker.
Yeah.
You see, yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. And that's how many, unbeknown to them, create their realities. So you see, it begins with hearing. Look, one perfect thing I want to make clear to you today is this. I don't want to teach. I just want to emphasize on what Pastor has shared yesterday. It began with hearing. I want to challenge you today. Some of you, thank you, Lord. There are two persons here. Even right here in your phone, you have X-rated movies, X-rated short clips. You can't go on like that in life. You are damaging your future. You are damaging your image. You are damaging your vision. You can't be feeding on X. Let me tell you, number one, it will damage your mind from receiving. Number two, it can end up becoming your own reality. Number three, even when you now eventually marry, now this is psychological now, it can damage your marriage. Don't forget, I'm a pastor and I cancel married people. That's why a guy is looking for a lady after he married her. He wants her to do like this. The way those ones that are doing in the ex, you know, they want to spin her, you know. And those ones are on drugs. Those ones are different. Your wife is not, do you know what I'm saying? It's not malicking. That thing is. Says, beginning from the law, Moses and the prophet and Psalms, he began to explain to them the things concerning himself. Why didn't he just tell them, "I am Jesus"? Why? Because you see, he believed that when they hear, hearing will produce faith. We build conviction. It begins with hearing. 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 You have to filter stuffs. Listen, the only way you can control the outcomes of your life primarily is by controlling what you hear. Because the experiences of your life are the outworking of the predominant thought pattern, predominant belief system already in your heart. I want to dwell on this, even if it's for 2 hours. Someone say hearing. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Father Abraham, how did God take Abraham in the school of bravery? Don't forget, one of the things he did was to change his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means assumed father. Abraham means what? Father of many nations. So somebody will be calling him Abraham and he will be responding. And heard he had no child. So you'll be hearing, Abraham, eh? Abraham, eh? Abraham, eh? So he's hearing, Father of any nation, eh? 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 Father of many nations. Today is the father of many nations. Because if you are born again, then you are Abraham's kid. Because God told Abraham, he said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that seed is Christ. So that means anyone in the world today that believes in Christ is blessed. Blessed with what? Start from verse 4 downward, Ephesians 1. You're going to see those beautiful blessings. And our response to the blessings of God will always be that we will also bless God. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be God who has blessed us. So through understanding and revelation of the blessings of God, we bet worship. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual. You're like, wow, I bless you, God, for these blessings. He began to name those blessings, predestination. He began to name those blessings. In verse 7, we talk about, you know, forgiveness of sin, you know, redemption through his blood, and so on and so forth. So you see, it begins with hearing. It begins with hearing. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 14, the Bible says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So they have to first hear it. Someone is like, Pastor, say something else. Like, no. You have to get it. In repetition lies the power. I don't want to share anything outside what our Father has taught. Someone say, hearing. Yes. Say it again. Yes. Okay, now, so Daddy is coming now. Let me give you an instance. 2012, he said some things to me. And those words are living. Maybe I should give you an example. How many of you years somebody said something to you that was hurting? And it's like that, those words are like living things inside your tummy, right? They don't, why? Because you see, but you have to, you heard it, right? Come on, talk to me, you heard it. You still said some of those things to me yesterday. Apostle. 2012, he sat me down. He was telling me some strange things. Not bad strange, like strange things in righteousness. And they are resonating in me. The same thing applies. Somebody can be talking you down. Talking you down. Talking you down. Talking you down. Blockade. Can't you see you can't become anything? Of a sudden, you begin to see those things they are saying. That's witchcraft. And the way to fight witchcraft is simple. You talk. You talk. Witchcraft, don't start thinking juju. It simply means subverting your will. That's all. Anything that makes you do what you did not intend to do in the direction that is anti-God. So it begins with hearing. So if you can control what you hear, if you hear, look up. Right hearing will produce right believing. Right believing will produce right thinking. Right thinking will produce right mindset. Right mindset will produce right action. Right action will produce right character. Right character will produce right destination. So if you hear right, you will believe right. When you believe right, you will think right. You think right, you will talk right, you will act right, you will live right, and then you will excel right. You will reach your destination right. So it begins with hearing. So wrong thoughts, devilish thoughts, you nip it in the bud. You know a bud. Something that is growing, first remove a bud. You kill it there. That's the stratagem. That's the way to deal with wrong thoughts. The same thing with good thoughts. You cultivate consistent listening, consistent hearing, consistent. I was with Pastor yesterday in his hotel room last night. And I was sharing with him how that I was mentioning some tapes Pastor preached to us those days. And their titles. We're just laughing about it. I say, you remember Pastor Genesis of the New Man? I say, shasha. Those were series. Alright? We've heard them, listen to them, hear them again and again. Until it becomes literally a capital inside you. Somebody say hearing. Say it again. Some Christians, they have Linda EKG app on their phone, drinking water app, exercise app, and some have different kind of apps, but no Bible app. There are Bible apps that you can play the audio and go to bed, and then it's playing. Is playing again. See, there are some scriptures you see me quote. I didn't plan quoting them. Somebody was asking one time, he says, why do you know so? How could you quote so much Bible verses? Did you cram them? I said, not exactly. I have just read them again and again, read the Bible back to back, you know, again and again, read, you know, familiarize myself with those scriptures. So they just come out when I need to use them to teach. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you hear them again and 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 again. See, you don't know the power of mindset and belief system. You don't know yet until when something contrary faces you. Let me give an instance. It took me a long time before I started loving old people. Because growing up as a Yoruba boy in a Yoruba land, they always use old Yoruba, old women as witches. It took me a long time also to start relating well with fair ladies. Because if I see a fair lady, I say, hey, mommy water. Now, you don't know, look up, you don't know how powerful those things are. Another one, I am just befriending cats. Before, if I see a cat, I say, in Jesus' name. Because they always use cats to be perpetrators of evil in movies. And let me tell you, statistics shows that. Look, one of the reasons why we're having bad marriages is, listen, Nollywood has done so much harm to many people. Their idea about life majorly comes from those media. So what you hear, somebody say hearing. Say it again. Rise on your feet, everybody, as daddy comes in. Come on, rejoice. Sit down. You can be seated. Somebody's a hearing. You see that? Very important. What you hear. It begins with hearing. And it's a deliberate, conscious effort that you must take to ensure that your hearing is right. Amen forevermore. Now the hour is here again. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. To receive again and again and again. Don't forget hearing. He says, he that worketh miracles among you, he that ministers things of the Spirit among you, how does he do it? By the words of the law or by the what? He says, nay, it's hearing of faith. Hearing. I want to introduce our daddy again to us. For those of us that are joining today, that didn't join yesterday. We have in our midst Pastor Segun Obaje. Come on. Glory to God forevermore. Sit down. Let me just say a few things before.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.